I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, the run from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Martin. I'm joined by author of the Smallville Official Companion Season 4, 5, 6, and 7, and webmaster of Krypton Site and K-Site TV. Krypton Site still exists. Craig Byrne. What's up, Craig?
Hey, what's up? Good to be back.
Back in Smallville, much like the CW these days, right?
Exactly. I mean, Tuesday nights at 9 is a good time for watching this stuff.
Let's see. So I guess in a couple years, they'll move to Wednesday and then Thursday.
And then they'll be banished to Friday.
Superman and Lois obviously is on. We're still in our first batch of episodes, but I gotta say, yeah. Man, I'm really loving that show. So
I am too. I think they've done an excellent job. It really gets the characters really well, and it kind of pokes some of that Smallville nostalgia without copying Smallville.
Totally.
Which is kind of cool, except for maybe doing a football episode third, you know.
The third episode of both shows.
To be fair, though, Hothead was not originally episode 3 of Smallville.
You know what? I never even considered that, but you're absolutely right. It was Jitters, right?
Yes.
But then they had some reshoots and stuff?
Yes, I believe the mother of the director passed away, the original director for Jitters.
Okay, that's
so
why
that
they
also
paused.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's why Jitters is all over the opening credits of season one.
That explains it. So. Which is kind of cool. I do wish Superman and Lois had opening titles like Smallville did, because I was thinking when I was watching Promise again, it's like, I cannot not watch Smallville without watching the opening titles.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just
like, that's blasphemy to skip that.
So. Exactly. So.
But hey, we are talking about Promise. And there's a very special reason you're here, Craig, because you were actually on set for Lex and Lana's wedding.
Yes, I was. That was the first time I ever was on set for Smallville. It was, so I was writing my season 4 companion guide, because we're a couple seasons behind back then. Mm-hmm. And I got an email from the publicist like, hey, do you want to go up next week for Lex and Lana's wedding, more or less? And I'm like, yeah. So,
right.
I flew up there. I don't even remember how I knew how to get to the locations, or somebody picked me up, or it all is a blur, no pun intended, or maybe the pun is intended. But yeah, that was such a trippy experience. And I was careful to dress nicely because I knew we were going to be in a church, and I don't know. And then at one point, John Glover's like, oh, you should come up here and sit with us. Which was very funny. The other thing that I remember that I thought was funny is I was probably the day before the on location shot, I was in the Smallville production office and I was talking to Kristen Kruk. I guess it was the second time I ever actually met her. And, you know, she didn't really like doing press, but she was always super nice. And she would talk off the record, of course. Mm-hmm. But I remember saying to her, I was like, what? Lana's getting married and Aunt Nell's not showing up? And she's like, no, she's back this week. And I'm like, what? So that was kind of a good surprise. And Sarah Jane Redmond was there. And I actually thought, though, because her hair was a bit lighter, that the person sitting in the front row of the church was actually Lois, like a double for Erica, because she was off that week. But, you know...
Yeah, Nell did had the early Lois hair color going on. Because when we first met her in season one, she had raven black hair and
yeah, just like Lana.
Yeah, exactly. So that is a deep cut though, right? For them, but good on them for bringing. I mean, Henry Small didn't come back, but Nell did for the wedding.
I mean, Gabe Sullivan didn't go to Chloe's wedding, and I think they even referred to him as dead or something. Like, oh, Clark's going to walk me down the aisle because my parents are gone. What?
Yeah, well, so I'll have to keep an ear out for any specific dialogue because that's a character they just completely forgot about. So good on them for at least remembering Nell for at least this one episode.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it was fun to see her again. I almost wish we had had more. I remember, and this might have been in the companion guide, Annette told me that they had actually kind of like ad-libbed some dialogue where Martha said to Nell, like, or Nell says, I'm sorry about Jonathan, and Martha's like, oh, thank you so much for the card that you sent, or something like that.
I have the exact quote here from Smallville, the official companion season 6
by is in there.
Craig Byrne.
Cool. Okay, cool. It is in there.
Sold. Yeah, it was, you're right. They improvised a little short exchange, and this is what Annette O'Toole had to say, quote, we had just a few lines where I sat down next to her in the front pew and said, thank you so much for your note about Jonathan. Nell used to date Jonathan. Sure, there was jealousy and bad blood, but I thought, how lovely. They're at this wedding, which they both know is a mistake, and that rift has healed. He's dead now. Let's be friends. We both loved him. So that's a great quote from Annette for some insight there, I think.
Annette is so thoughtful and amazing.
And that little section isn't even on the DVD or anything. It's such a snippet of a scene. It didn't even qualify, unfortunately. And that would have been nice to see because, you know, it is great to have Nell back. And she does have that scene with Lana where she, like, encourages her to, like, don't have any regrets. Go for it. Risk everything, right? And that's why she's there. But, like, it was very clear that Nell and Lana had, like, nothing to fall back on as far as their relationship goes.
Well, I mean, Nell just got married and up and left herself, so.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, one thing I noticed when rewatching this episode is I had forgotten how colorful this episode is.
Mm.
Like, especially in the church, I thought, like, because, you know, usually, especially when you think of the first 5 seasons of Smallville with Greg Beeman directing and stuff, you think of lots of vibrant, wonderful colors, and I thought they used color really well in this episode. I think it was it Rick Rosenthal who directed this one?
Well, let's see. According to the companion, you're correct.
Okay.
Rick Rosenthal, director of Halloween 2.
There we go.
was this the same church they used, like they would use all the time, like the same one that Lex and Helen got married in?
I mean, don't know that. I feel like I may have looked it up at one point when they went to a church later.
Right.
But
like in season 7 with Robert Picardo. Maybe that's the same church.
So. Yeah, I don't know, the holographic Jensen Ackles dad. No, I don't really remember. I just remember this was a little bit on the outskirts of downtown Vancouver. It wasn't too far from downtown. And I know some of the establishing shots of the church were like one side of the church, but where Lex and Lana came out was a different side of the church. Because I was also there for when they filmed the scene, them exiting the church.
Can you be seen in the episode at all? I'm sure you've probably frame by frame looked for yourself.
As far as I know, I stayed behind the cameras. Like,
okay.
That's the other thing. Like, you know, movie magic. I would say there were probably only people in the first half of the church.
Mm, okay.
You know, like the back pews was just crew and cameras and all that. I was in one of the back pews.
Mm-hmm.
Although somewhere I have a picture. Well, I mean, you can't see my, like, being dressed up, and it's an awful picture, but I do remember I took a picture with Allison where her hair is all put up, and she's wearing, like, a heavy coat over her outfit, you know, because it was cold in Vancouver, and they're dressed like it's Kansas.
Right. Man, it's just a different era, because this would have been early 2007, late 2006 when you went up there.
It was January.
Okay, so January 07. And this is like before smartphones and all that. So, like, you know, had you gone up there today, right, you could have had all these selfies and all these, you know, but back then, you know, didn't have a camera on you at all times and, you know, you get what you could get, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe my phone didn't have a camera. I mean, I know I got a few pictures. I specifically remember taking a picture of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as we saw in the episode, people have flip phones.
Yeah. with your 1 megapixel camera on there.
I took pictures, but it looked like Super Mario Brothers 8-bit.
Exactly.
Kidding.
So.
But
that's cool, man. You know, who would have thought that after 5.5 years of Smallville would all be leading to a Lex Luthor and Lana Lang wedding. And I got to say, you know, season six here, I disagree with that plot with them two, but I actually do enjoy all of their scenes together. Like it's, I think Michael and Kristen work well together, and they actually write some pretty mature stuff for both of them during this whole plot line, I think.
And you know, Michael's enjoying himself.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he's said as much in podcasts and stuff, but it's also interesting when you consider though, that at this point, Lana Lang would have been only like 20 or 21. Mm. And she's already like thinking about getting married and being pregnant. I mean, she's already been proposed to once. Mm-hmm. Or I guess that didn't really happen.
I guess she can't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. But still. Yeah. I mean, Clark's already been married and widowed.
That's but... true. Good point. Oh, man.
I mean, it is a lot for a young person to think about.
Well, because once they get out of high school, you forget how young they really are. Right.
Oh, for sure. And I, you know, I do think Kristen, I mean, Michael always knocks it out of the park. And I mean, but Kristen was really good in the storyline, I thought. Like, she played conflicted mm-hmm. really well. I liked all of her scenes in this episode. I mean, I think Lana did seem more fun when she was a little devious as a character.
Mm.
So that's fun to see. It's just, you know, I mean, I know like season two especially was a little rough for Lana as far as like you're keeping secrets from me. But at this point, it's like, okay. I don't know. I think so much time has also passed that as fans, it feels like we have like a little bit of an ownership of these characters. And it's like, okay, yeah. Lana may be annoying, but she's our annoyance. You don't mess yeah. with her. I don't yeah. know. But
no, I after watching Arrow and what happened on that show with some relationships, I have a whole new appreciation for Lana and her relationships on Smallville. I'll put it that way. So.
I've said this before. I think Alan Miles especially balanced the characters really well. Even if Lana was the girlfriend, Chloe still had an important role in the series. You know, as an example, I still think the way they wrote Lana out of the series was a little messed up, but that's for season.
That's for seasons down the road, right?
So I'm not going to spoil people on that, but
that's right.
Yeah,
we don't spoil people on this podcast, not at all.
So. Yeah, you know, I once had a conversation with a friend, and I said something about the episode of Smallville with Jonathan's death. He's like, "I haven't watched season five yet." I felt like such a jerk.
He was so close. He was so I know. Close, Greg.
You remember when you were just a little boy, I'd bring you up here to the office?
I used to pretend it was all mine to control. Like I could just reach down and move all the cars as if they were toys. Pull all the strings and make people do what I wanted. But I guess it's all out of your control, isn't it?
I should hope I taught you better than that.
You know, Dad, ever since I've been with Lana, I wake up wondering, is today going to be the day when she sees who I really am? What if she doesn't show? I honestly don't know what my life is without her.
What would you be willing to do to make sure that Lana is standing next to you at the altar this afternoon?
Anything.
Then she will be. I promise you.
Promise is the 16th episode of Smallville's 6th season. It aired on... Whoa, what is today, Craig? Today is March 15th, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We're recording this on March 15th. This episode aired on March 15th, 2007. That is a weird bit of synchronicity right there, so that's cool. Exactly. Oh, man. Bad
14
math.
Years.
Thank you. 14 years to the day we are recording. As we said, this episode was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by Rick Rosenthal. So Rick Rosenthal, again, he's directed a handful of small episodes. And of course, I know him from the Halloween series from back in the horror franchise days. But yes, the episode starts out with Snow Patrol's You Could Be Happy with like a pre-wedding day montage. And this is one of those, I think, heavy hitter big songs for Smallville, I think.
Yeah, I don't particularly remember this song, but I'm not a music guy. I'm old.
I guess, like, I always hear it on the radio, you know, like if, whenever yeah. I heard a song on Smallville and then, like, just heard it at the mall or in my car, you know, I'm like, oh, this was
Which still
legit.
Happens to this day.
Does still happen. does still happen. So, but it's a you know, little montage of, you know, Lex and Lana are at the sonogram looking at their fake baby, and then we get Clark looking at the prom photo of him and Lana. And I don't think we've seen that photo before. I know we've seen all the photos of Clark and Chloe at the spring formal, but I don't think we've seen one of these you know, WB promotional photos of Clark
did they
and Lana
Photoshop
before.
The two of them together, maybe?
Oh no, I think the photo exists, but I just don't think we've ever seen it. I mean, I'll have to take a closer look. Maybe they switched out
Whitney and Chloe.
That'd be terrible.
I never thought about that. My question was just like, how did they get that shot?
Yeah, well, the same Smallville High School photographer that was following Clark and Chloe around followed Clark and Lana around, I guess. But, you know, this is what, you know, we've all gone through bad breakups and want to get rid of pictures. And what does Clark do with his picture here, Craig? Of him and Lana?
He sends it to the Phantom Zone. Like, he literally throws it out the window, and it's a shot just like the way the previous season ended. Was it the previous season that ended that way?
Yes. Yes, Vessel, okay. when Zod yes. banishes Clark. Yeah, it's like, man, maybe that's the same effect. Maybe that's why it looks so... Maybe they just copied and pasted that CGI model, but...
Yeah, Pavel Chekhov calls the episode Wessel.
There it is. But yeah, so we get established of what the day's going to be. And then, you know, this... We start with this montage, and then it kind of, I remember back in the day, this threw me off to, like, what this episode was, like, it was going to be, because I don't like the in media res.
Oh, I hate trope. It. Like, I was kind of annoyed each time it just, like, restarted itself. I'm like, come on. It's, I mean, like, I hate that, like, 24 hours ago, .. That's like,
mm-hmm.
But.
And rewatching the show, Smallville did it less than I thought.
Good.
But when I did see it, I was like, now this one, I'm not going to count it because it's like, that's not exactly what it was. It was like from Lana's perspective, from Lex's perspective, from Lana's, from Clark's perspective. And in the companion, Brian Peterson had this to say about that quote. He says, "We talked a lot about how much the episode should be shown through Lana's point of view. And I think the final decision was that it actually was a pivotal day for everyone. It's an important day for Lex and for Clark. And so that's why we chose to have them each wake up out of a dream rather than just framing it all through Lana's point of view in her flashbacks." So I agree. I think because it restarts the three times, I'm like, all right, I see it's different than your 48 hours earlier. So I'm like, I will allow it. So, and then they got to use some cool stock footage from season two premiere when Clark and Lana in the tornado. So good on them for the stock footage.
Yeah, the time that he flew 9 years before the finale.
They didn't know. They didn't know, Craig. They didn't know. So, but yes, our first dream is we get Lex, a white suit Lex, you know, President Lex, evil future Lex, and Clark kills him at the altar at the church. And we're like, what's going on here? And then Lana kills herself because Clark killed Lex. And then Clark wakes up from a nightmare. So that was, you know, it's funny. You know, you talk about deleted scenes and weddings and all kinds of stuff on the show. I had misremembered this, and I thought, speaking of reusing footage, I thought this was the scene where Lex is marrying his mom, right? And he's covered in blood. But that was a deleted scene from Scare way back in season 4, so I was wrong about that.
Which originally was something different, wasn't it?
Well, that was the original thing they shot, and then they threw it out and reused President Lex from Hourglass.
There
instead,
we go.
Which is really cool, but the other one would fit better.
I could be wrong. I think it's the episode. The younger kid from Superman and Lois was born the week that Scare aired.
Wow. We're old, everyone.
We're very old.
But well, we get these... I get the resetting the day, and I guess this was like to communicate it to audience, but what did you think of these full screen slides where it's like 11:03 a.m. and stuff like that?
I was a little confused at first because I was like, oh, is that the wedding invitation? But why does it say 11:03? That's a random time to have a wedding.
Start a wedding, yeah.
You know, and then I kind of figured out what they were doing, but mm-hmm. that also made it confusing when they reset to the morning again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, it's, you know, 8:03 a.m. now. What?
Right, right.
I don't know.
And so this is our day through Clark's point of view. And it's because that dream, it could be all three of them, right? Until Clark wakes up, you realize whose dream it is, right? But he gets a call from Chloe, and she's trapped in the wine cellar, at the famous Luther Mansion wine cellar. And we have a plus one for blue shirt, red jacket, because Clark puts on his pseudo Superman costume to go save the day just in time to save the day.
We also see Clark's bedroom, which is only seen every once in a while.
We do. Man, we're spending a lot of time in that this season between this and Trespass, you know, back when Lana was snooping around and all this stuff.
Realistically, they probably had just rebuilt it for Trespass, and they're like, hey, we've got this. We might as well use it again two episodes later.
And since Lois isn't living here, Clark's not sleeping on the couch, so he is in his room for a change. So
with his bed that is much shorter than Tom Welling.
Yeah, there's no way.
I think that might be a Smallville thing in general, because later we see Lex's bed and it looks like Michael's just like all bunched up to try to fit in it.
Fetal position. So
yeah,
the
exactly.
Only
yeah. So, okay, go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. No, I'm glad you called out Clark's room, because we do, for a show that takes place in Smallville and we see the Kent house all the time, I could probably count on one hand how many times you actually see the inside of his room. But we get Chloe in, trapped in that wine cellar, and Clark super speeds in, and you know, he rips off the door. He uses heat vision to repair it, and this is cool to see this, because to me this was the coolest part of the episode, seeing this part from different points of view. That kind of made it, that made me be okay with the, we're gonna reset the day three times. And
although the dialogue is different when we see it from a different perspective,
it is a little different. And like, was that? Well, maybe she just couldn't hear it all right, because, you know, Lana was hiding behind those those shelves later on, right? That's
or
how
maybe
I
Tom
it.
And Allison just didn't remember the exact way that they delivered it before.
That's true.
That's more likely.
So you can't use time travel as an excuse, because that's not what's going on here. So so then we get some, speaking of the dialogue, right? Basically, it's Chloe trying to get Clark to swoop in and save the day, because she thought he was going to do that. And he's like, what do you want me to do, you know? And she throws out Iron Flesh and Man of Steel and all kinds of Superman references. And I sometimes those work for me, sometimes they don't. But when they all happen in such quick succession, I just kind of roll my eyes. But the bottom line here is, right now where Clark is, he is not going to stop Lex and Lana's wedding. Which, you know, if you think back to, I believe, the end of Crimson, was it? Martha was like, you need to leave her alone. She's going to get married. You need to move on, right? That was a very important lesson. Then Martha,
that sounded like much more of a Jonathan voice.
I don't have a Martha voice. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, gotta move on, son.
Yeah. You have to be careful, son.
That's it. Exactly.
These cows won't milk themselves.
I'm sure Clark has already said that to his sons on Superman and Lois. Like, you got to be careful.
Lois said it in episode one.
Okay.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Then, have we seen cows yet on Superman and Lois? Speaking of cows?
No. I don't know if they're cows at this farm. Just Cal-El.
Yeah, there it is. Wow. Good one. Moving on. Talk about cringeworthy Superman references. Moving on. So I say that about Martha because, you know, I thought that was a very mature approach for her to take, and the correct one, right? But then,
right,
you know, Clark comes home and Martha has decided to take a complete 180 and drops this revelation on Clark that her and Jonathan almost didn't get married, and they had a huge fight and all this stuff, but, you know, they decided that, you know, love is too important to not take a risk on, and that if he feels like there might be a chance, he needs to go for it. And I was like, okay, did you not watch the other episode where she told him to do the exact opposite? Like, I don't know. I knew that he needed some, because I thought it was pretty mature of him to, like, move on.
And didn't Brian and Kelly write Crimson?
You know what? I have the companion in my hand. I'm gonna let me look back.
I feel like they did.
Oh my god, you're right. that's even better.
So this isn't like a Scotty saying, "I wonder what happened to Captain Kirk" type thing, is it?
Oh man, that is a deep cut, Craig. I respect you for that Star Trek reference. That's right. Although Ronald D. Moore actually wrote that episode of Next Generation and Star Trek Generations, so it's actually
so
a similar
situation.
It's exactly the same.
Oh, is this the same Ronald D. Moore that said that Roswell would beat Smallville in the ratings?
Oh, I don't know that. Was he involved with Roswell?
I believe so.
Oh, man. Yeah, that must have been... you're right, because he would have been off Deep Space Nine by then. Yikes, Ronald D. Moore. But hey, I love the new Battlestar Galactica, so all is forgiven. So
exactly. He was probably glad to get away from it because he got to do Battlestar. But exactly. Anyway.
So, yes, point here... 180 from Martha. It is amusing that the same writers wrote that scene in the other episode, but I guess Craig, the show needed him to interrupt this wedding. But I thought, you know, Smallville ends these relationships so poorly, right? I mean, even in season 7 with Lana and 8 with Lana, and I don't know. I feel like they could have said something here about like moving on and things like that, and they just decided, nope, we got renewed for another season, so we got to keep this going, right?
Probably. I don't think they were renewed at this point, but yeah, okay. Probably.
So, based off Martha's advice, Clark goes to Luther Mansion and to go pour his heart out to Lana, and she's writing something, right? And you're like, oh, what's she writing? I guess we'll find out.
And she seems really sad.
She seems upset. Something. It's like she just made a really tough decision, you know? But it almost seems too easy. Like, if looking at this episode, like, because obviously we've seen the other perspectives and we saw what Lana's day was, so it makes a little more sense. But from this perspective, is this like a trick or this is another dream? Because he goes in there to talk to her and she's like, it's cool, it's fine, I love you too, I'm gonna kiss you, we'll meet instead of getting married today, I'm gonna meet you in your barn, right? I'm like, well, that was super easy.
It's okay that you smushed my parents.
I think she hasn't made that connection yet. we do get the episode title set in episode here because she's like, I'll meet you there, I promise. And I should have had a sub counter for how many times I say promise in this episode.
Yeah, I think probably Lionel says it at one point too.
There are multiple characters say it multiple times, but yes, Clark tells her he loves her and she's all about it and she promises to go meet him at his barn. And so episode title set, episode there. So he runs off because someone's coming, right? Speaking of Lionel, we don't know that yet, but somebody opens the door and she looks like, oh God, someone's here. And we cut to commercial. So I wonder who it is at the door. It's Lionel. There's been a distinct lack of Lionel. Like there was a stretch here. I guess John Glover's doing a play or something, but it was really good to have him back in this episode.
But also, I think they only had him for 13 episodes a year.
And don't want to waste him. So only bring him in for the big ones, huh?
Exactly.
And that's another point. Like, Erica had a similar contract. She's not in this episode. Jimmy, who has the Erica contract from season 4, like, I'm basically a main character, but I'm not in the credits. Like, all three of, neither Jimmy or Lois are in this episode. So yeah. I would have thought Jimmy, why would Jimmy not be a plus one for Chloe at the wedding?
Because Chloe is so busy at the wedding, moving stuff around. You know, I don't know. Like, she seems like she's really occupied. And also, you know, this is probably kind of weird for her. I don't know.
So they cut the commercial and we come back. And it's our second dream. And it's Lex sitting in some kind of screening room, which I'm just going to assume is a cool room at the mansion, and he's looking at the sonogram, and I swear they did this on the X-Files once. I don't know if they did or not, but I feel like I saw Scully in the X-Files looking at a sonogram and it turned and looking at her like an alien monster as well. But that's what happens here. Lex is looking at the sonogram and then it turns and looks at him, gives him this evil look, and he wakes up from a nightmare. So it's a pretty effective jump scare though. And then we get our next wedding day slide. It's 7:14 a.m. Lex gets up and he sees Lana's already up, hanging out by the fireplace. And he's like, hey, how'd you sleep? And she's like a baby. And he's like, me too.
Yeah, she was really comfy.
That says a lot, actually, that the fact that they're just lying to each other from the very beginning of this day. Because they had nightmares, they had horror, they couldn't sleep. And they're like, oh, everything was great. Lex goes to Luther Corp. Lana's going to stay there and meet up with Chloe and that kind of thing. And we do get our Lionel Luther appearance, right? At Luther Corp. He's like, busy day at the office, which I thought was a great way to enter. And it is sad. And Lionel calls him out. He's like, look at you. You have no one to be with today and nothing to do. And then we have some introspection from Lex here, because he's like, you know, I worry every day that is today going to be the day that Lana finds out who I really am, right? And I think that's accurate, and that's why he tries so hard to control the situation, which totally backfires on him, right?
Pretty much, and now he's going to owe Lionel if Lionel does what he says he's about to do.
He's like, I promise you, Lana will marry you today. So, and there is another bit here where I thought was some interesting insight into Lex. He talked about when he was a kid and Lionel used to bring him up to the office. and he pretend he could move all the cars and the whole world was his to control. And I thought that was a cool story, and that really, you know, plays into who Lex Luthor is as a character. And I really like the vibe between them here, Craig.
Yeah, I do too, but it also reminds me of Lois and Clark, where Lex Luthor, like, says that he likes having the tallest building in town because everybody has to look up to see him.
Until Superman gets there.
If you ever need to find me, all you have to do is look up.
Look up. But then Lex gets a very ominous-sounding phone call, right? Which Lionel overhears, and that plays into what happens at the end as well. Does Lionel have super hearing? I don't know. I'm not sure how he figured out what was going on, but it made for a great end scene.
Who says Lionel wasn't behind that person's call?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
I mean, we called him the Magnificent Bastard for a reason.
I can buy that. So we get our, that's the other thing about these time cards. Like, we can kind of see, I'd be interested to, like, one day, like, try and watch this episode in order of the things that happened. Because it tells you what time it happens, right? So at 4:43 p.m., Lex meets Dr. Langston in the crypt under the church.
Which looks like something out of Dark Shadows.
It does. The Dark Shadows remake show or the old show, Greg?
The old show. Like, complete with, I don't know if you noticed, but when he hit the casket moved.
That's a bad
sign. It was
that
rickety. Yeah.
But you know what? This is cool. This is Lex's chickens coming home to roost, as they say, right? I don't think people say that anymore, but at least they used to. And he wants $2 million or he's going to reveal what's been going on with Lana. And he has a quote here. He says, "No man sinks as low as you have if he isn't driven by desperation." I was like, damn. You know? And you know, that really sets Lex off, and he beats Dr. Langston to death.
Well, he beats him, but then he, like, throws him, and then he hits his head on the casket thing.
That's true.
And that's kills him. Because I don't think Lex intended to kill him.
That's true. He lost his temper and kind of was one of the classic, oh, I fell back. And because he, but you're right. That's a great point that he didn't intentionally murder him, because I guess they're trying to still play in this gray area of Lex Luthor at this point. But I think by this point in the show, he's crossed over the dark side, Craig.
Well, also killing Dr. Langston, I think, became the official point of no return. Like, this episode, when you think about it, is a major turning point for the series for several characters.
And he stayed forever. Much like the blood on his, I love that. It's a nice little touch, right? Because the music's so amazing when he's beating him, and then he falls back and he hits his head, and clearly he dies on the tomb there. And then we just cut to Lex just desperately washing his hands, you know. And then people,
I love that blood only got to that one spot on his shirt though.
How would that happen if you have blood on your hands? Right? But that was really cool. Like, that was like a symbolic thing about he is stained, he is not pure, right?
And it kind of echoes the beginning of the episode where he's stabbed when he's wearing all white.
Oh, yeah. I just thought he was wearing all white because they're like, well, what can we put Michael in? We got that we have that president costume we keep pulling out.
It's like, so. We got the president costume, we got Clark's room we just built two episodes ago.
Yeah. Using everything, right?
We had Oliver's apartment for like a year after he left the show.
Oliver's apartment. That's so ridiculous they kept going back there.
And then they didn't have it when he came back.
That's the
and he had his little plane.
The plane he was hanging out on the tarmac all that. That's so great. Like, they kept it right into the point where he came back as the main character and they didn't have it anymore. Like, they must
Well, they turned it into the House of Clubs.
When did the House of Clubs show up? Was that season 8? Yeah, but that's it's like, didn't they know that Justin Hartley was coming back by the time they demolished the set?
Maybe they thought having a hangout was more important. I don't even remember the House of Clubs really.
That's where Doom Tinder was going to work, right, Craig? Before he became a paramedic. We'll get there one day.
Okay. But, yes.
But it's Chloe at the door, right? And Lex's like, what's going on, right? And she's like, well, Lana, she's gone, and nobody knows where she is. And we cut to commercial break. So Lex's worst fears have become realized, right?
Unless it's another dream sequence.
Unless it's another, and then he wakes up again.
Gosh.
That would be funny. Because just keep in this ridiculous loop. But we go to commercial, we come back, and it's 7:09 a.m. So good on them for the continuity. She woke up 5 minutes before Lex, Lana did, right? And her nightmare is stock footage from season 2 in Vortex. And it's Clark saving her in the tornado. And that's cool. Like, I think for a dream, that makes sense. You know, yeah. It's kind of a repressed memory or a vague, you know, she's obviously thinking about Clark, right? So we see that, you know, she has her own kind of wall of weird going on with, like, newspaper clippings that she hides quickly when Lex comes in. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't quite follow that. So she put her stuff in those clippings, or did he put them there?
Oh, you know, I just assumed that she did, but you're right. It was so out of nowhere. I don't think they ever revisit that before or after this.
Yeah, I was a little confused by that, actually.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, Lex stole that, he stole that farm tool out of her drawer that she had, so maybe she thought it wasn't safe to keep stuff in her room anymore. So Lex is never going to read these books in the library. I'll put these clippings in there. So we see our own version of that Lex showing up, and hey, how'd you sleep? Like a baby, right? But we see it, like, from Lana's face, and it's like she has to put on her happy face to talk to Lex, and like, man, it sucks to be Lana in this episode. But you made your choices, Lana. So, and hey, she goes to the church, and who is there but Nell? And like we talked about, Sarah Jade Redmond returns, and I thought that was really cool. And
it's the first time since Ryan, I think.
That's crazy. Like, 4 years later, like you know, we love making fun of Smallville's lack of continuity, right? But sometimes they really come through. And, you know, if Lana was going to get married, Nell would have been there. No Dean, so maybe she didn't get a plus one. Maybe that marriage didn't work out. You know, who knows? But
no Henry Small either. But
no Henry Small. And, you know, in the companion here, they actually mention Henry Small. Like, like, who says it? Let me find it here. Let's see. Yes, Brian Peterson brings that up. He says, quote, "I think the audience felt that Nell and Lana had a really strong bond. Did they? I don't know." And he goes on to say, "But I don't know that we ever built that as strongly with Henry Small." So that's their logic for him not showing up. I would say, Craig, I think Nell and Henry Small are probably in the same amount of episodes.
Yeah.
It's just so odd.
So much attention was paid to him for a while there.
Yeah, like, it was this whole mystery, and like the and then his wife said, "Stay away from my husband," to his daughter, which is weird. It's just, and then I don't know, like, he's one of those characters from season 2, right? You have Henry Small, Lucas Luther, and then Martha's dad, like, three characters that should be important. They introduce in season 2, and they're never spoken of again. So
and I'm surprised Helen never came back either.
Yeah.
Because you know she found a way to survive.
Yeah, she's a survivor.
Exactly.
So, I don't know, what would you do? It would be some, like, revenge plot of the week, right, with Helen. I mean, I would have loved to have seen her back, but...
Or maybe she would have gone after Lex's money after he quote-unquote died.
Well, yeah, you know who else would have done that? Lucas. That is ridiculous. That is my
favorite. He was busy being a vampire with Adam Knight.
He was working down the street. Like, they could have got him in for one episode. You know, I just think that's such a missed opportunity.
Vampire Diaries only did their pilot in Vancouver. The rest of it was in Atlanta.
Oh. Well, I did not know that. So that explains why I never saw Adam Knight again, too, I guess, right?
Adam Knight was just a mess of a character. That's why we never saw him again. And didn't he die?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That might get in the way, too.
That's the real reason. But yeah, well, they might as well have killed Lucas, is my point. Like, if I had one question to ask Alan Miles, it would be, what was up with Lucas Luther? That would be my one question.
My one question to Alan Miles would have been, how would you have ended the show? Which I did ask Al before my season 7 companion book, but they didn't want to say, or Al didn't want to say, because he didn't want to step on whatever ultimately would happen. So we'll never know.
Well, had Alan Miles ended the show with the same shot in season 10, but back in season 7, I think that would have been more satisfying. But again, we'll get there one day. So basically, Lana's conversation with Nell is like, could you, you know, if you knew something about somebody, could you just bend the rules just once? And she just basically she wants someone to give her the green light to go find out what the deal is with Clark's secret, because she has to know before she walks down the aisle with Lex. So
also, wouldn't it have just been easier for Lana to tell Chloe what she was up to?
Yeah, but
like, Chloe, pretend to need help, so Clark shows up.
Yeah, it's weird what their whole vibe is. Like they both know, like, Lana knows that Chloe knows the secret, and Chloe knows that Lana knows that she knows the secret, but they're like, we just won't talk about it and be friends.
But, I mean, she literally locked Chloe in a cold cellar. What if Clark didn't show up?
Well, I mean, how cold is it really in a wine cellar? Like, Lex got locked down there by evil Lex, so...
I am the villain of this story.
Yeah, that is... She's right. Like, what if she was wrong about Clark? What if he didn't have super strength? What if we really couldn't get Chloe out of there? So, how do you, you have to call Lex and explain that? So... Yeah, because she's sitting down there because... well, we'll get there. Actually, that's literally, like, the next scene. But the final words of advice from Nell is, we do what we have to do, right, to take care of those things. So, there you go. There's your... motherly advice from Nell, whatever Dean's last name is.
The best fake mom in the world.
I think Nell gets a bad rap. I wish they would have used her. Like, that's the thing, right? And this side note, Superman and Lois, the parents and the characters are like equally characters, like three-dimensional. Yes. And that's great. And I think as much as we love the Kents on Smallville and obviously Lionel, right? Everyone else's parents as characters were complete two-dimensional nobodies. But that's not the case on Superman and Lois.
Yeah, like, and I know you're recording your own thing on Superman and Lois, but, like, I loved in episode 3 that we got to see Sarah Cushing's home life, you know, mm-hmm. at Lana Lang's house.
From her perspective.
Like, what, from her perspective, because we never really, I mean, yes, we saw Lana's place, but it was through the eyes of Clark, almost.
Through a telescope.
Yeah, or his telescope, for sure, yeah. We didn't really get to know the intricacies. I mean, the only parent... besides the Kents, obviously Lionel was a major factor too. But yeah, I really like that Superman and Lois is doing such a good job with the adults. And that would be one criticism I have of Smallville in general, is I think sometimes they cut away from the parents so they could focus on the young hot people or something. But I would have loved to have seen more of Martha and Jonathan, for example.
Yeah, you're so right. Like, we're so used to it cutting away. Like, even an episode, I think of an episode like Red.
Crimson.
Like, Crimson.
Where they screwed her over.
Not that Crimson, but yeah, no, that's an absolutely right, where they cut Martha's scene. So that's one case what we're talking about. The other is, like, you know, I'm thinking about Red, where in season 2, like, Clark starts to, like, act like a jerk in the bar, and then he super speeds off, and normally you would just cut away, but then you have, like, a whole conversation with Jonathan and Martha after, and I'm like, yes, more of that, please. Well,
I loved, I think it was maybe even Metamorphosis, it was very early on, when, like, you know, the friends would just come over and have breakfast with everybody. Like, I think Pete comes over to the house, and it's just having breakfast at the Kent house, because why not? You know, they had a very open home.
Yeah, they have an open home to the point where they kick Clark to live on the couch whenever they find some new kid.
Oh my gosh.
So, we get our timestamp of 10:55 a.m., for those of you who are keeping track. And Lana and Chloe are, you know, walking down the hallway, and we see what Lana's big plan was. It was that she had Lex's wedding gift in the wine cellar.
Why did she have a wedding gift for Lex?
Well, I mean, you can each buy gifts for each other. I think that's...
Okay.
Just because Lex is a billionaire doesn't mean she doesn't need to get him something, right?
Fair.
Yeah, this was her big plan. Like, and to your point, like, it is like, this is how you went about it. Like, Chloe could have froze to death, but wouldn't be the first time on the show. Chloe always froze to death. But anyway, Lana sneaks around behind Chloe and then locks basically the vault door.
And Chloe doesn't hear somebody locking it, which is kind of funny.
Investigative reporter Chloe Sullivan. What if she couldn't get cell reception down there, Craig? You know, like, I don't think if you went in a storm.
What if it had been lead lined?
Yeah, well, yeah. That would have been fine.
I guess so.
There's no kryptonite in them. There's meteor rocks in this wine from the Smallville Winery. Why wasn't that an episode? Smallville Winery. Oh boy, but
wait for the reboot.
There it is. That's going to be an episode of Superman Lois. So Clark comes down there, and we kind of see the other side of that conversation. We see Chloe make the phone call. We see Clark super speed in. And I think it's very cool here that if you go down the list of what Lana sees Clark do, she sees him super speed in, use his strength to rip open the door, and then use his heat vision, right, to repair the door. So she
hashtag
gets to see
laser eyes.
Laser eyes. Ocular what do they call it? An ocular ejection? I don't know.
Yeah, or ocular release.
There, that's a little, either of those is questionable, but that was a very amusing conversation when they talked about Heat Vision on Superman Lois.
So. For sure.
Oh, man. But I do like the handheld point of view here, right? Because it is, their point of view here is Lana hiding like a few shelves away, right? And so it gives it a different feel than the scene we saw. But yeah, you're right. To your point, the line readings are not exactly the same. But we're not supposed to notice that. No one's going to be watching this 14 years later doing a podcast about it, talking about such silly things.
14 years to the day.
To the day. So Chloe, you know, she says all the same stuff and we hear this stuff. And then this is very interesting. I know this was a big point of conversation when it happened, when the show came out. But like when Clark just, when he's done this conversation with Chloe and then he just disappears, like we don't hear super speed, we don't see a blur, we just see blink and he's gone, right? And I thought that was really cool because that's from Lana's point of view. And that's how normal people, that's right, he's talking to Commissioner Gordon, right? But I think that's how normal people would see his powers, right? He'd just be gone in an instant. I know a lot of people, because back in the day, I think even on the Krypton side forums, right, people were like, did they mess up the special effects in the scene? You know, back then. And it was a conversation. But I think it was very intentional because of the point of view shot.
Yeah, it was very cool.
And that's her confirmation. Now she knows that. I mean, she kind of knew for a while, but this is the finally she's not half awake or inspecting some object she found that she knows Clark was involved with. Like, this is to her eyes, you know, this guy has some abilities that I've seen. So then at 1:35 p.m., she's writing her Dear John letter to Lex, and as we find out what it is. But then, you know, Clark comes in. It's all the same beats, right? Oh, yeah, I know. It's cool. You got a secret. Don't tell me. Like, he tries to tell her, but then she, like, stops him and all, you know, all those same beats from before. The word promise is said yet again.
Oh, no. Know,
I think even the Nell Lana scene, they said promise. It's still, even knowing what Lana knew, I still think the scene is too easy for Clark to come in there. After all the history they've had, which made it kind of suspicious. But
well, I think Lana's also still processing and still a little bit of shock that she was right.
And that's the thing, like she thinks he's a meteor freak or something, right? She still doesn't really know, because he's got multiple powers, as we've seen. So, but then he leaves because somebody's coming, and the person at the door is Lionel. And just, it's again so great to have Lionel back in this episode. All his scenes are my favorite scenes.
And he's keeping his promise to Lex,
keeping his promise to my son. He basically lays it out. So he's like, "Hey, I've been watching you. You know, ever since she started dating Alexa, he's kept an eye on her. So he knows what she's been up to." And he finds that letter, right? And he's, "Oh no, we can't have this, right?" And he basically threatens to kill Clark if Lana doesn't marry Lex. And he tells her, like every hero, he has an Achilles heel. So what is his?
She is the anchor.
There it is. She's the key.
What
is the deal here, Craig? Were they trying to make you think Lionel was still a villain? I mean, this is like that whole vague Lionel, like they don't want to commit to either way, because this is a pretty villainous thing to say. And he pulls the same crap in season 7 too, when he locks Clark in a kryptonite cage. But
that's a good question. I think right now he's just saying whatever he can for his own self-preservation. And to get the upper hand on Lex, he knows what he's saying is exactly what he needs to be saying to Lana right now to make sure that she marries Lex. But
for his own purposes, not because he wants Lex to marry.
Right. Yeah.
The woman he loves. Okay.
Or maybe he wants Lex to be distracted by her because he knows Lex's downfall might come from her.
Yes. Clark and Lex have the same kryptonite. It's called Lana. So, but yes,
until Lana becomes literally toxic and he falls in love with Lois the next week.
Until she literally becomes kryptonite.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys took that a little too literally, but yes, he says a promise again. He has the line, "If you do not honor the promise you made to my son, I will kill Clark Kent." So there you have it. And now we go to commercial and we come back and there's no more resets. We don't get like Martha's perspective of the day, which would have been nice. I would have enjoyed that. But that's the thing that kind of hurts it for me. Honestly, I wish they would have committed to this gimmick, but I guess they had to move on at some point, right?
I mean, they only have 42 minutes or something.
Right. So we continue the day as it is chronologically, and we do get a shot of Nell and Martha sitting together, and this would have been where that scene was we mentioned earlier, that little short exchange between the two of them. I think that would have been nice, and I think it would have been good to at least have it on the DVD, but it is what it is. This is a very effective cut to the Kent farm, right? Because they're looking for Lana, she's not there, right? And then we cut to Clark, and it's a close-up, and he's holding this engagement ring, and he says, "Will you marry me?" And then he's practicing with Shelby the dog, and that was an A-plus editing job right there, I thought.
Yes. I had forgotten that scene. I mean, it's been 14 years.
Right.
Exactly.
But always good to see Shelby, and I think that was a really effective comic beat, because this episode, you know, gets pretty dark, so...
But also, you can picture Lois, like, coming there and was like, "Oh, Clark, you're proposing to the dog again."
Oh, wow. That would have been a great use of Lois in this episode.
Actually. I know, right? So,
and then she maybe could have sat him down and talked some sense into him, not to run to the wedding, right?
Or she could have been the one to tell him to go to the wedding, and then Martha wouldn't contradict herself.
You know what? We just solved the problem. Like, if they could just take Erica out of one other episode and put her in this one, that would have been great. Yep. Although... Is telling your future husband to go break up someone else's wedding before you're dating, is that anyway?
She saw him naked the first time they met.
They already have so much baggage that wouldn't even matter at that point.
Yeah,
so,
they're not traditional.
Good point. It's an untraditional road to happiness for the two of them. But that's, I love that. That is a great point. Like, I would have loved for Lois to have a couple scenes in here and be the one to tell him that stuff. But anyway, so we get the wedding, and did you see the whole thing? Like, did they shoot all the church scenes in one day that day you were there?
I do believe they did.
Okay.
Because it would have been hard to set up again, you know what I mean?
Right, because they were on location, so they got to bring out the whole crew and everybody out there, so they just probably want to get everything exactly while they're there.
So, I mean, Tom wasn't there for much of it because...
He's just hanging in the back.
Yeah, he just shows up for the one scene. But, yeah, I remember that. And then between, like, when they're doing more setups and stuff, everybody was hanging out in the rectory.
Mm.
Above the church, kind of.
Yeah.
It was like a little church office. And that was kind of cool. It was Annette, Glover, Aunt Nell, I think the publicist Kendra, and me. And we're just like all chilling up there, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I don't remember if Michael was up there or not. I know I interviewed Allison on the stairs up to that.
Mm.
So my Allison interview for the book, and my Annette, actually my interview with Annette for the book was there in the church. And she like kept her voice down, you know, because they were setting things up. Also, that's a really funny story. I don't think Annette would get mad at me for telling it, but at this point in the series, Annette was like counting down the days until her contract was up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I think she missed her family and, you know, going to and from Vancouver. And I just remember, like, you know, she was celebrating. She's like, "I've got only 6 episodes left." It was like the countdown to the end of school. Wow. But there's one part where I guess the extras were talking and the director shushed them. But then later there's a period where Annette was talking and she got shushed. And she goes, "What is he going to do? Fire me, please."
That's great.
And it was so amazing. She just gave zero, you know what.
I am Rick Rosenthal, director of Halloween Resurrection. You will respect me.
No, he actually seemed pretty cool. I don't remember talking to him more than just saying hello at lunchtime. But and obviously, I thought he did a really good job directing this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned the colors, but I think a lot of the setups, because there were a lot of surprise entrances and exits in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I give him credit for that.
Well, and he directed quite a few episodes of Smallville. Which I always thought that whenever I saw a name that I recognized from something else, you know, I got kind of excited. I think whenever you shoot episodes, you know, like Reckoning, for example, or, you know, we love Star Trek. So the cause and effect is the episode Next Generation where they're in the time loop over and over again, right? And whenever you have to see the same things again, it takes an amount of skill to make it interesting to watch again, right? So you don't just feel like, oh, well, I saw that already. That's boring. And to make it like intriguing is a challenge. And yeah, absolutely. And
I do recommend the Legends of Tomorrow episode of the Zaris having the same day over and over again, though.
I'm not caught up on Legends, but from what I always see peaks of, I think I will enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to catching up on the Arrowverse in that way. But so they have a Groundhog Day kind of episode.
Yeah, but I'm going to warn you that season one of Legends is a little painful.
Oh, we'll see. I watched season one, and that's why.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, so by season two, and I mean this in the nicest way, by season two, Legends realized it was a stupid show. So they embraced the stupid.
Right. That's the vibe I get from it now. Yeah,
they had a giant teddy bear in the show.
Oh, yeah, I know about Bebo.
Bebo was in Crisis.
Yeah, Crisis. Yeah, I know about Bebo.
Yeah, the show is just silly and doesn't take itself too seriously. Because, I mean, your Arrow podcast right now, you know how kind of painful it gets when it takes itself too seriously. Like, the first couple episodes of season one before Felicity showed up, it was just dour.
That's why Lance and Kev do that, and I just keep to my Smallville over here. But
yeah. And you make your girlfriend talk about Superman and Lois, and she's like, I don't know if I want to do more seasons of this. We're only on episode 3. Yes, I listened.
Good.
That was amazing.
Thank you. That's a real fun. I'm glad we're doing that. You know, it's a fun vibe to that, and it's a very unique situation. So I'm like, we got to do it, and I'm glad you're enjoying it.
No, I think that's amazing.
But hey, you know what? Speaking of Felicity and Arrow, Felicity and Oliver do not show up and crash this wedding. And it's successful. So, Clark does show up, though.
And, wait, how successful is the wedding if they're not married anymore after like the end of the season?
Spoiler. Well, you know, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. So,
well, did they divorce or did she die?
Well, we'll take a closer look at season 7.
Okay. But,
is the wedding? Is it like a okay? Well, she. If she has a death certificate, is it null and void the wedding? That's a good point.
It's like if Chloe Sullivan is dead, how did Chloe and Oliver get married?
That we have no record of anyone named Chloe Sullivan. What are you guys doing? But you know what? Clark does not do the whole like I object, right? You're waiting for the whole like, you know.
I know, right?
The first thing I think of is Shrek. Like, but
no, but Clark is very. What's the word? Not dejected, but it seems like he's kind of resigned to the situation that's kind of awful. Mm-hmm. He's really down.
Well, it sucks because like he had already accepted this was happening, right?
And then he felt like he was going to propose to Lana. Right.
And then he gets hyped up and she's all about it. And then he's like, all right. And then he shows up and from his point of view, she lied to him or changed her mind, and you know, and he's just totally dejected. And I like the whole tuxedo without the bow tie look he has going on. It kind of—it's
like he forgot to put it on.
Yeah, maybe.
He was busy proposing to Shelby, and they're like, "Oh crap, I'm late for the wedding."
Yeah, what did he actually hear church bells, or is that what it was?
I don't know if that was another question. Like Lana was running late for the wedding, wasn't she?
Yeah.
How would Clark know what time? Like, I mean, by real time, Clark would already have been too late.
And where was
Lana
she anyway?
Had been on time.
Because
she was talking
already...
to Lionel. Maybe.
Oh, that was happening. See, that's why these timestamps exist. That's why I got to try to watch this episode.
I assume she was talking to Lionel.
Right. Well, Lionel was at the church, though. He was the best man, sort of.
Because Lex has no friends.
Well, because that's what's weird. They'd never say, I thought Lex was going to ask him to be his best man when they had the office or something, because you have Chloe as the maid of honor, and then Lionel standing up there with Lex, like, the best man, because if he wasn't, he'd be in the aisles with, like, Martha, you know? Like, Martha and him would, you know, go to the wedding together. It'd be really cute. But that's not what they did. So, interesting. Because, you know, I remember, speaking of Krypton site, hashtag Krypton site still exists, I remember... I think maybe like in the spoiler page or something, it's like, and you'll never guess who Lex picks as his best man. And I believe people on the forums were like, is it going to be Jimmy? Right?
That's random.
Yeah, but there's only so many characters. That's the problem. There's not enough characters in this show.
It's like
right?
Clark and Lois getting married and Clark not wearing his glasses to the
That's
wedding.
The worst. Come
but
on.
But also, where was Pete?
Yeah, well, Sam Jones was probably not available.
But they could time. Have gotten a Pete lookalike that you could show from behind, kind of
like they did
I
with the Justice
Aunt
League.
Nell, or like how I thought Aunt Nell was Lois.
Right. And how they did the Justice League with Hawkman's funeral, right? I guess.
That was painful.
All the stunt doubles. But anyway.
Well, you know, they tried to get the Justice Leaguers back for that. Because Kyle was my neighbor at the time.
That would have been cool, but also kind of a waste. Like,
that's
I would
the
like
thing.
To
they
get
weren't...
them back for something real.
Yeah, that's the thing. They weren't really paying much just to walk by.
Right.
So anyway, go on.
But anyway. So yeah, so Lex and Lana got married. Hey, you know, unlike Lois and Clark, where Lex tried to marry Lois and didn't work out well, this at least worked out well for Lex. To your point, though, for a few weeks, months, I'm not sure how much time passes between this and the season finale. But so we get Lana after the wedding alone in her bridal suite, which
I'm
is
sad.
Why is she there alone in her bridal suite after the wedding? Like, the only reason this scene exists is to give Clark the chance to go in there and talk to her, huh?
And also, Aunt Nell is upstairs hanging out with me.
I guess while they were filming this scene, Craig, you were hanging out with all the other characters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got Tom and Kristen kidding. Down there. And I don't know. This conversation was clunky, and I didn't really like it. And it's that's the thing, because Lionel's like, if you tell anyone about this conversation, I will kill Clark Kent. So she can't even, like, explain why she changed her mind. She's like, yeah, I changed my mind, I'm gonna be with Lex. And so I don't buy it. So
gotta let Clark be sad boy for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, oh, and she does say, and I had to think about the finale, speaking of, like, she says, I had a change of heart, much like Lex in the finale when he comes back. He's like, my father had a change of heart and I got a second chance at life. So those are the two scenes I've watched more than anything of any show, I think, are the Lex Clark scene in the Smallville's finale.
Okay.
And the Lex Clark scene in Christ on Infinite Earths.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm not one to go watch scenes on YouTube all the time, but those are my go-tos.
See, for me, I think one of the Smallville things is the very last thing of the Smallville finale where they start the Can You Read My Mind music.
That's my number three.
Clark and Lex on the, or Clark and Lois on the steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That made
Lex
me
Luthor,
happy.
Elected president 2018.
Not that far off.
True. So Clark, even here, he's like, you want to know my secret? I'll tell you. it's so sad. Desperate. All the characters are sad. And Clark and Lex are desperate here. It's a very sad situation. She's like, no, don't tell me. I love Lex. Go away. And so he leaves, right? And then Lex is alone in the groom's suite, which, again, is odd after a wedding. Like, let's go sit by ourselves in these rooms that we're done with.
Because he has no friends now that Clark's mad at him.
That's right. And he killed his best friend back in boarding school, so there's nobody left. That is very similar now I think about it. Maybe that's why my mind went there. But the way that he beat that season six, man, give it some credit, right? The way he beat up his friend, whose name escapes me, but from Reunion, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, he beats him up, and then he kind of accidentally walks into a car. It's the same way he kind of kills the doctor here. He beats him up, and then he accidentally falls into a crypt. So look at you, Smallville. It's like poetry. It rhymes. So, but this scene is great between Lex and Lionel. Like, he comes in there, and you think they're, like, on good terms, right? Like, you think it's, like, a good, friendly, you know. And Lionel starts dropping
Lex,
some stuff
on
him.
How can you be so careless?
Because he starts dropping his normal Lionel dialogue on him, right? He's like, oh, yeah. And then Lex is kind of fed up with it. He's like, do you sit up at night practicing this stuff, right? It's a classic, you know, Lex response to this. And then out of nowhere, Lionel just slaps him. And it's like, whoa. It's like shocking
it's
and
hilarious.
It's
enough to give him make a bloody lip.
Yeah. And because it rarely gets physical between these guys. So this was an amazing scene, I think.
Well, I just loved the one-upmanship the two of them had throughout the series.
Uh-huh.
It's like always getting one up on the other. And like Lionel, just like, as you said, he just lays it all down.
And he's like, you are a grown man on your wedding day. You are pathetic. like just the way he just destroys him. And then he's like, there's a little crypt downstairs. It's getting a little overcrowded. And Lex's like, that was an accident. And then Lionel again with the burn, he's like, of course it was. You don't have the guts to plan a successful murder. It's like, God's sake, just ripping this kid apart.
Oh, yeah.
So this is why Lionel is missed whenever he's not there, because just him and John Glover, like, it's so incredible what he brings to everything. And
they still have a banter. Like, yes. When they do conventions together, you see them, like, Instagram posting about each other. It's like they still, like, kind of, like, give each other crap.
Man, I went to one of those Smallville nights that they that Rosamund Welling did, and it was a convention that Glover was at as well.
Uh-huh.
And so the Smallville nights, it's just supposed to be Tom and Michael, right?
Okay.
But Glover comes in, like, halfway through, and he says, Lex! And he was so amazing, because it was like you're in an episode of Smallville, and Lionel just comes through the doors, and he goes down the aisle, right? And it's so funny, because, you know, you know John Glover from the interviews and stuff, and I've met him now. And it's amazing how he can, like, turn that on and off, because he comes in, he's like, I'm Lionel. And then he's like, oh, hey, guys. Like, just complete 180 just from totally who Lionel chill. Is. Well, so amazing.
I just remember after season 3, I'm sure I've told you the story before, I went and saw Lionel Glover in a play.
He is the character.
Yeah. And got to hang out with him and the cast afterwards. And at one point he offered me some wine. And I'm just like, no, I saw what you did to Lex in the season finale. And he's like, oh, that wasn't me. And he was just playing along. So I actually got a picture of him, like, feeding me a glass of wine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh man, but you would never guess that he was Lionel Luther, and he's such a fantastic job.
Yeah, he is such, like, a pussycat, like a nice person. Mm-hmm. And, like, Lionel is such a bastard, you know? It's like, it's wonderful.
And as he leaves here, the scene, he implies he knows about Lana's pregnancy, right? And Lex is like, what do you want? You want 33.1? You want Luther Corp? And he's like, she's made a desperate man out of you, Lex. And he's so pathetic. He wants to, and that's like the 1% that's, like, left of Lex you feel sorry for, because as we've been joking about, he has no friends. He has nothing in his life, right? And he's desperately trying to cling on to Lana, right? And make this work, like, to orchestrate a fake pregnancy. I mean, come on.
And Lionel keeps rubbing this in.
Yes. And that's why this scene is so great. And then, but Lionel's like, he doesn't want any of that. He's like, you'll know when it's time for me to collect. Like, he really is like the devil now, you know? And Lana comes in, and Lionel looks at her, and he says, Mrs. Luther, welcome to the family. It's A+, man. It's so good. So...
oh, man. And Lana's probably like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you did this to yourself to a point, Lana, but then it's like, yeah, you really didn't know it was going to be this bad. So.
And now she's kind of stuck, because if she leaves it, something could happen to Clark.
Right, right. So I get it. It's. If they tweaked a couple things here, I might have liked the setup better, but it's like the whole, like, people could just talk to each other and solve a lot of these problems, but she is in way over her head. You know, she might have thought she was in Lex's league, but neither of them are in Lionel's league yet, and he's in control again. So, like, talking about how the dynamic had changed, like, as warm and fatherly and friendly as that scene was at Luther Corp, right? We have gone right back to, like, Lex is despised by Lionel, and, like, Lionel looks down on him for not being the man he wants him to be, and I'm like, but it works so well for what they're doing, and I love it. So
take that, Game of Thrones.
Exactly. So we get another song here at the end, Heavenly Day by Patty Griffin. And it's one of those, you know, juxtaposition of, like, it's like this happy music, and we see the slow motion of, like, Lex and Lana leaving the church, and they're throwing, you know, rice or bird seed or whatever they do these days. And
I think it's bird seed.
See, that's the thing, right? It's been this cycle of what they throw at weddings. Like, they used to throw bird seed. No, they used to throw rice, but then birds would eat it and die. And they didn't want that. It's like, I know, let's throw bird seed. But then birds would eat it and then poop all over the steps of the church. And then, like, so now they're like, well, now what do we do? So I think they've said that you see bubbles a lot these days, right? Because bubbles, like, they clean themselves up. Like, rose petals are fun, but somebody's got to clean that stuff up. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, wedding departure tips. But, man, Lana, you know, she's not doing a good job hiding the fact that she is not feeling horrible right now. Like, Lex is just so, I buy that Lex is just so oblivious. He's like, all right, I did it. you know, mission accomplished with him. He's just seeing what he wants to see, right? It's like 500 Days of Summer. Like, he's seeing what he wants to see.
Yeah.
But she is clearly not enjoying herself. And then we see Clark, like, classic Clark, like, in the background looking sad, and this group of people, and, you know, Lana looks up and sees him, and he's gone, and Lex looks at him, and she's like, yeah, I won. You know, basically, that's what's going on between the two of them. And they drive off, and that's the end of the episode. But that's some heavy dynamics from your big three characters there in the last scene. Because like you said, this is really a turning point for
yeah,
the show.
I mean, Lana knows the secret. Lex has straight up killed someone. And Lex is getting more desperate. Lionel's pushing him even more over the edge. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And I'm very glad that they got more time in the series. I mean, at least season 7 to build on this even more. And I mean, 8, 9, 10, we had some good stuff, though. I really did miss Lex and Lana in the later years.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it's because that they were Smallville, you know,
yeah.
Like I love a lot about the last 3 seasons. I love season 9. I mean, that's one of my favorite seasons, but it's a different flavor of the show, which, like, it kind of needed at that point, but I don't know.
Yes.
Like But because, I don't know, you got your writer's strike going on in season 7, that messed up a lot of stuff, but the way they had kind of, like, left those characters, Lex had a great season 7, you know, Lana, not so much, but.
You know, I did, you know, you were talking about the Lex and Clark scene from the series finale. Uh-huh. I do remember watching the last Lex scene from Arctic at the time, and I got a little teary-eyed thinking, oh, this is probably the last time we'll see the two of them in a scene together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm glad we got another scene of them. We should have had one in Crisis, Michael.
Yeah. We'll talk about Arctic, obviously, when it comes in. And, you know, if you're up for it, Craig, I'd love to have you on for Arctic. So,
okay. Whichever.
I'm so glad I got to talk about Promise.
What?
I don't love that scene in Arctic, to be honest with you, between the two of them. But it's been a while since I revisited it, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the lesser Smallville finales.
Right.
Because it was kind of, you know, rushed.
Yeah, but knowing kind of the same thing you had, like, if that was their last scene together, I was like, oh, that was it? But, you know, we'll get there.
Okay.
Congratulations, son.
Thanks, Dad. And why do I get the feeling that's not all you came to say?
Good to see the euphoria of your wedding day hasn't tempered your cynicism.
I guess old habits die hard.
And apparently some are next to impossible to kill, aren't they?
Do you sit up at night practicing this stuff?
How could you be so stupid? A grown man on his wedding day, and you need me to come to the rescue again? You are pathetic.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't play the fool with me, Lex. There's a crypt down below that has gotten a little overcrowded.
It was an accident.
Of course it was. You don't have the guts to plan a successful murder. And if anyone should discover that the fresh corpse downstairs happens to be that of your bride's physician, they just might stumble onto the truth about Lana's pregnancy. She's made a desperate man of you, Lex.
Okay. You win. Whatever you want, it's yours. Control of Luther Corp 33.1.
You don't have to worry, Max. You'll know when it's time for me to collect.
Promise got a 9.0 out of 10 on IMDb. And Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage, who has been giving 1 out of 5s consistently for a while here, he gave this a 5 out of 5. So even this melted his cold heart about Smallville Season 6. So good on you, Promise. So
did
I was
he
surprised.
Even give Justice 1 star?
You know, I have it here. Actually, let me consult my notes.
I'm just curious.
Let's see. He gave Justice 4.5 out of 5.
Okay, so okay.
Which is crazy that he ranked Justice under Promise. But to that point, Craig, on the letter grade scale, what would you grade Promise?
Huh. I'm going to give it a B just because I don't really like the returning to the same scene thing again. Or that storytelling device. I love that major things happened. I thought it was well acted, well directed, well written for the most part. I just didn't like the repetitiveness, maybe. So I'm giving it a B. How about you?
This might be a hot take for people, but I'm probably going to go with a C+. I know it seems low, and I did enjoy it, but I disagree with a lot of the contrivances at the end, and then where we are with, like, oh, well, now she had to marry Lex, and we're going to see how that plays out, and I didn't like it either, like, the whole, like, repeating the day. I felt like, you know, because this was, like, a companion piece, maybe, to Reckoning, so they tried to recapture some of that, right? Because it's like, well, it was Clark and Lana, but now it's Clark and Lex, and here's your day over, and I don't know, that worked really well in Reckoning, but... I don't, you know what, C+ is probably too harsh for that. I'm gonna go with B- because there's a lot of stuff in here I liked. So talking through it, thinking about it, you know, I love the continuity with Nell.
Yes, I was just gonna bring that up.
Like that alone should give them some more points. And then Lionel just elevating the episode. Lionel is the reason this episode gets a little bump for me at the end.
And Michael should get some credit for the really good work that he did opposite Lionel, or opposite John Glover. And again, I'm going to give Kristen props for this episode, too. I think she had a lot of heavy lifting to do, and I thought she did well.
Yeah. No, talking through all this stuff again with you, like, that's, I'm like, you're right. Like, I had written down, like, C+. I was like, no, that's not fair, because this is an above-average episode, even though I don't really like the direction of where this takes, where the characters are. All the performances are great. There's some A+ scenes. Lex is really embracing the dark side there, and just some good stuff in here. So B for you, B- for me.
Okay.
Let's go to the tally board. Not a long one. We got a +1 for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket. That brings us to 53. Mm. We have a +1 for episode title set in episode. That brings us to 46.
I think we got like +8 for that one this week.
I know, right? I'm like, ultimately, I didn't want to have to pay attention to every time it was said in every episode. Fair. So that's why I'm like, well, as long as I hear it once, we're good. Yeah, although I, you know, be here all day, just like watching episodes 3 or 4 times before I do the podcast. And then +1 for weddings. That brings us, you know what? Let me ask you, Craig, how many weddings do you think we have now with this +1?
4.
Nailed it. So,
okay, that was just a guess.
That's why you get the Smallville expert. 4 weddings. Yeah, because we had Lex and Desiree, Lex and Helen, Clark and Alicia, and now Lex and Lana. So
there we go.
Now, if I counted engagements, that'd be different, because we had all kinds of people proposing, people left and right on this show. But weddings it is. That brings us to 4. Bechdel test, pass or fail on this episode?
I would say fail, because like Lana and Nell were clearly talking about Lex and Clark.
Mm-hmm. Chloe and Lana were talking about Lex and the wedding, and you know.
Yeah, so probably fail, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, there you go. Well, Craig, man, always a pleasure talking Smallville with you. Definitely had to talk about this one with you since you were on set when all this went down. So exciting stories from the set of Smallville, and
I wish I had a time machine to experience it again. Plus, being around people, that was great. It was a church full of people. What was that? I can't even remember anymore.
And hey, as we all know, #KryptonSite still exists, but where can people find you out there online?
KryptonSite, KSite TV. Also, I'm covering Superman and Lois. So I actually have a Superman Lois account on Twitter. It's at Superman Lois TV. There's no and in that. It's just Superman Lois TV. And that's where you can find the specialized Superman and Lois stuff. But also, there's a Superman and Lois forum on KryptonSite, or actually on KSite TV, but long story short, people are actually posting again a little bit. Not quite like 2007, but there's some activity going on. I'd love to have more activity in there. So if you haven't been to the forums in a while, you should come back.
Absolutely, please. Man. You know, it's you had you know, Krypton and Supergirl, which are kind of like, they're kind of Superman shows, but now we have a Superman show that's back for KryptonSite, so everybody go check them out for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, who'd have thought we'd ever have a Superman show with Superman? It's none of this Lois and Lex and investigating stuff in Metropolis.
Oh man,
or...
yeah, I love those. Don't get me wrong, I love Lex Luthor and I love Lois Lane, and those are some great characters, but like, that's just another one of these before or after the hero shows. And that's not what we wanted. So we ended up the winner on this one, how that one got delayed and this one showed up. So,
and I watched Superman and Lois and I'm like, I see some of the visual effects and the stuff that Superman's doing. And I'm like, Dean Cain could have never, because, you know, 1990s visual effects, he had like one flying shot they would just use over and over again. And now we're getting this weekly on TV. And I mean, we've got Smallville High, The Crows, we have a Kent Farm. They're all slightly different now, but it's still very cool to see.
Yeah, it's playing a great legacy of the, I don't know what I was going to say, but
it hits into the legacy of Smallville. So if you haven't seen the show yet, you should check it out, because I'm very happy with it. Like,
I am too.
I actually like that they're not replicating Smallville, because like, if they had used the same Kent Farm, we would always have those thoughts and be making those comparisons to,
I was thinking about that too, like, because in the Elseworlds and Crisis, they had the, you know, the Smallville location, and then they had said they were going to have it for the show, and then they
changed it. It was in the first trailer for the show.
And so, but so was Tom Welling chopping some legs. But I think it would have been such a weird disconnect, right, to your point, to like, if you have the exterior, because obviously the interiors would have looked different. You know?
And, you know, like, you know, here's another thing that I just loved watching Promise and I didn't mention. I think we saw it in the scene. Actually, in the very beginning when Clark was, like, throwing the hay bales. I loved the Clark's barn set. You know, that's just something that I think has been kind of forgotten in the years since Smallville. That, like, that was so beautiful. Although I do wonder what they would have done if there was a tornado with all the stuff that he had up there.
Oh, but, man, that's a good point.
You know, we definitely didn't
lose their Wi-Fi if there's a tornado. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's good Superman Lois. I see what you did there. But, yeah, I mean, we got Superman on TV again. We got you and Sarah podcasting about it. I mean, we're in a good place right now. And, I mean, by the time people hear this, Superman and Lois is off till like, early July, I think. Or late June. I don't know. One or the other. But either way, in the meantime, everybody can catch up on the first five episodes on CWTV.com with bonus material, which I know we've talked about that, like how it'd been cool if we got bonus material for Smallville. But I'll be honest, I go to the CWTV site and I freeze sometimes when it goes to their commercials. So I can't even find the bonus scenes at this point.
Because they're not included separately, right? They're included in the episode.
So yeah, they're just edited into the episode, yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. So I wonder when the, and I've said this on the other podcast, I wonder when the, you know, the Blu-rays come out or whatever, if there's going to be like an option to watch the extended version or if that's the default version. But
I hope it's the default version. Yeah, it's a great problem to have, except for, I mean, I hope these scenes that are cut aren't like major for continuity.
Yeah,
but
like, we'll say Martian Manhunter showing up and explaining who he is to Clark in Smallville, and they just cut that.
Or
scene.
You know, everybody finding out that Chloe is alive
back in Gone, right?
Gone, wow,
man,
that takes us back. Actually, when I interviewed Allison about and asked her about that episode, that was in the church.
Oh, okay.
The interview was there.
Hashtag it's all connected.
Until it's not, and the book shows up in WandaVision and proves that your show never really was connected. No, but I can't remember what other interviews I did there at, you know, as they were filming. I might have talked to Michael there.
Did you use a, I'm just curious, because did you use like a mini tape recorder or were you?
Yeah, it was a mini tape recorder, and it wasn't, actually, it wasn't like the mini tape. It was like an actual like cassette size back then.
Oh, wow, okay.
It wasn't digital or anything like that. But
yeah, right. When I was doing it, I was doing a, well, I guess at this point I was in college doing journalism. I had a little mini tape recorder and then eventually got a digital one at the time. So
my digital audio recorder is the same one Chrissy Beppo has in episode 2 of Superman Lois.
But yes, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter, always Marvel with 1S on Twitter for the podcast. Always on the Smallville on Facebook, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. And you also hear me on all those great podcasts that Craig mentioned as well. So that's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next week talking about Combat, our big Smallville WWE crossover, the crossover I never knew I wanted and still didn't really care about, but we'll get into it next time. But
who's your guest next week?
Anthony Lantern from he does YouTube videos, and he's a big wrestling fan, and he knows a lot about wrestling, so he's gonna have some insight into these guest stars, which I do not have. So
and your reaction to wrestling is like Sarah's reaction to Superman.
Exactly.
Cool.
So that's you gotta have that balance, right? So anyway.
Right.
So there you cool. have it. But oh, you know what? That actually reminds me of one last question I was gonna ask you, Craig. This seems to be like, you know how Rosetta was a huge episode and it was like the, you know, the end of the February sweeps and stuff, right?
Yes.
It seemed like this would have been one of those, but Combat was the one before the break. Do you have any idea why that was the case?
I would assume because this didn't film until late January, so it wouldn't have been ready for mid-February. Mm. You know, with visual effects. I mean, there weren't a lot of visual effects in this one, but still. You know, it takes a couple of weeks to edit, so.
Right.
It's just the timing probably didn't work out.
Yeah, it just seems they like they would always try to end on these major episodes like that, and then it's like, well, this seems like those would have been one of those, but I guess it's just scheduling, so.
Well, yeah, and also consider that oftentimes they would do the big episodes in February, and then nobody would tune in again when the show came back in March or April.
That's true.
But yeah. this would have been a must-tune-in episode.
Absolutely.
So that might have also... I don't know, you should tweet at Alan Miles and ask. Maybe they'll answer.
They answer my questions sometimes, so I will do
maybe something. We need to tweet them and ask how they would have ended the show.
That's it. And what happened to Lucas Luthor. So, alrighty. Well, until next time, always hold on to Smallville.
You could be happy. I hope you are. You made me happier than I'd been by far. Somehow everything I own smells of you. And for the tiniest moment, it's all not true. Do the things that you always wanted to. Without me there to hold you back, don't think, just do. More than anything, I want to see you, girl. Take a glorious bite out of the whole world.
Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ DeWinna, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rothacher, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, Molly Ficarella, Atif Sheik, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Idzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magnoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kent, T. Hamill, Alana Gibbs, Patricia Carrillo, Omar, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGilly, Keith Falls, Jay Packett, Cody Thomas, Lauren D., and Alvin Orland. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.